Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I'm Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor supporting women in healing mother wounds through women's circles and through the one-on-one 10 weeks program. To know more about these offerings, check out my website, womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. And don't forget to subscribe to the mailing list, to the newsletter, if you would like to know more about the upcoming membership, which is launching early 2025. If you want to get more information on that, you want to be on the newsletter. So today I am recording in extreme conditions. We've got a very big storm a few days ago here in Ireland, and we've been with no power and no heating for a few days. And I'm currently with candles. My laptop was charged in town, and so I'm not able to record this episode, which I very much hope I will be able to get some internet connection tomorrow at some stage to be able to post it for you to listen to. So I can see my breath. So if you hear me sniffling, that's just part of it, but we're going to make it happen. We're going to have this episode this week. So here we go. So today we're talking about family traditions or manipulation with a narcissistic mother. What it is? What is it? Is it family traditions or is it manipulation? And also I'm going to speak to two steps that you can take to break the cycle of guilt and fear when we're talking about family traditions, which we're coming up to holiday seasons, we're coming up to Christmas and other celebrations, depending on the tradition you're coming from. So it can be applicable for this time of the year, but we can talk about any family tradition, really. So whatever is personal to you. Have you ever felt wrong or weird for not going with family traditions? Do some family traditions feel more like chores or rules to you than something pleasant? Would you like to do things differently from how your mother always does, like, for example, in this holiday season, but you feel like you can't? So family traditions can be a beautiful thing. They can offer a sense of security and a sense of belonging, and there can be pride and joy in being the one to keep family traditions going, passing them on to the next generation, whether that is during holiday season or in any other context. With that said, with a narcissistic mother, family traditions can feel like a bunch of rules, never to be broken or else. Or chores you must suffer through just not to upset anyone, all the way to feeling like a cage you can't escape. You may have reached the point where you wish to do things your way, and yet this feels like an impossibility to you. I've felt like a bad person at times for doing things a little different from how my mother or my family in general used to do it or does it. I felt the need to justify my choices with a lot of excuses, rather than just say, I do it this way because I like it more. You know, simple as that. Instead, a lot of excuses, a lot of justifications. I felt like my mother was going to jump out of every corner to give out to me like she would have done when I was a child. Or I've actually fought tooth and nails to defend some family traditions that later, upon reflection, were not even things I liked. Have you ever felt a pang of guilt for even wanting to change some things your mother does every year? Have you ever felt wrong for doing so? You know, maybe you've changed things, but then inside you actually felt really wrong, or you felt like the weirdo of the family. Maybe that's a role that you actually had to take on, sort of going around saying, oh, I'm the weird one in the family because I do things differently. But actually, because inside you're feeling some kind of this wrong feeling, like you're being bad, like there's guilt in there. Have you been rejected, judged, isolated, laughed at for having done things differently, maybe by your mother or maybe by other members of your family? And have you ever felt alone because of all of this? And you're welcome to share your experience of what family traditions mean to you in the comments if there's this guilt and fear connected to them, if they feel like chores. You're absolutely welcome to do that. To get to the root of all of this, we need to remember that a narcissistic mother speaks as if she held the whole truth of the world. what she says or does is kind of law. It's a truth. They never sort of say, well, that's just how I feel things can be. No, it's how they are. That's it. And she will surround herself with people who support and validate her truth. She will quote others or even invent people who agree with her to strengthen her case. We spoke about that in the triangulation episodes. And on this topic, you can also listen. I have a truth-telling episode by how a narcissistic mother does truth-telling. I can't remember the exact title, but I'm going to put the link in the description of this episode. A narcissistic mother will make anyone who has a different way or opinion wrong by default. Different is not good in the eyes of a narcissistic mother. Different triggers her hidden shame and sense of inadequacy. So different can't be tolerated. She can't see how doing something different is not actually an attack or judgment of her way of doing things. You're not doing things differently because you want to attack her or because you hate what she does. Maybe you do, but that's not inherent in wanting to do things differently. Sometimes doing things differently is just an equally valid different way. And both things can be equally valid, just one is for you and one isn't. But for the narcissistic mother, that's not how she sees it. She sees it like an out-and-out attack and judgment of her way. So different, anything different triggers her hidden shame and sense of inadequacy. So anytime that you're doing something different is like you are giving her a direct criticism of how she does things, and she will take that personally. You may have noticed how people who do things differently, maybe other families with different traditions, get heavily judged and criticized either directly or with passive-aggressive statements. Like she could say something like this to you. Oh, it's great how different they do that. You think they'd feel bad about doing it that way, but they don't. I've heard my family saying this so many times. Or they have this weird way to do this and to do that. So that weird put in there is like, it's obviously a judgment. Or she could say, oh, I love how they do this so differently, but I'm happy that you don't though. So even if you wanted to, you've been already told where you should stand. Also, a narcissistic mother doesn't want you to develop your own identity and become independent. That goes against her needs. Breaking from family traditions is a sign of you developing your own way, your own identity as a separate person, as separate from her identity. And she can't have that. Being brought up by a mother who speaks in truth, this is the way things are done, that's it, kind of way. By a mother who severely judges and rejects anyone who does things differently, and also by a mother who inherently doesn't want you to grow into your own person, so doesn't respect your sovereignty, conditions us, as daughters of narcissistic mothers, to silently accept family tradition as our own, feeling too guilty or afraid to change things, or going all the way as making these traditions our own, never even allowing ourselves to consider different options. Or you could go completely against every tradition. You could be the type that, as a reaction to your mother, does things as differently as possible by default, just not to do it like her. But you're still not knowing what you would truly like. So we can either follow blindly, or we can be completely sort of, we can be following not because we want to, but because there's guilt and fear, and so we do. Or we could go completely against it as a reaction. But in none of these three cases, we're actually doing what's authentically us. And if in this, so we're talking about family traditions, but if in this you're actually adding maybe religion and spirituality, then this can make things even more intense. And I have an episode on spiritual abuse on this channel, so I'm going to stick the link in the description as well. So if that is your case, you can go and listen to that as well. So the result of all of this, whichever version is yours, whether you're following blindly, whether you are actually full of guilt and fear about changing, or whether you're doing everything as a reaction and always in between, the result is that we're still living not authentically. not even daring to explore what you would or would not like to do. You, truly you. Not what your mother said what's supposed to be done. Not the opposite of what she does just to do it different. But you, you, your heart desire, what you truly love. Now, if you truly love the family traditions your mother has taught you, that's wonderful. That's brilliant. There are things my family always did, for example, at Christmas, that I love and I still do. And things I came to question, not just regarding holiday season, but even in other contexts. And also things I just do differently only because it's more me. That's just it. And for a long time, this came laced with guilt and fear and a need of constantly justifying myself in my decisions, not only with my family, but even with strangers I believed would judge me. So if I was doing something that was different from what my mother would do or my family would do, but I was talking to friends maybe, I actually still, that need of justifying would come up. The assumption that they would judge me just as much as my family did. The assumption that everyone around is judging me just like my family did. Have you ever felt that way? Do you ever feel like you need to justify with people that are not even, probably they don't even care about what you do, really, honestly speaking. They probably have enough things to think about of their own without thinking about you and how you are going to do things. And still, we feel like that. Are there things you would like to do differently, but you don't allow yourself to do that? Do you even know what you would like to do instead? Because that's the question. For a long time, I had no idea what I actually wanted to do. And again, you can share your version of this in the comments. So how can we break this cycle of repeating traditions by default, even when they don't feel good to you? Or the cycle of feeling guilty, wrong, and judged by the world for doing things differently. How do we break this cycle? Because that's the main thing, isn't it? We can recognize a pattern, we can realize that that's what's happening, but there's a point where we want to go, okay, this is time, enough is enough. I actually, from this point on, I want to live authentically. I want to find out what it's truly me. And I want to do this. I want to be happy figuring out what I want, what I like, what are the traditions that are mine that I actually want to start, maybe with my own family. You know, if you have a young family, for example, you may want to start your own things, the things that you are going to pass on to your own kids. And even if you're on your own, it's just the same. What is that you like? So there are two main things you can start doing from now to break this cycle. Number one, really super practical. You can do it from today. Count how many times today you feel the need to justify your decisions. And this is not just about family traditions. This is your decisions in general. How many times, maybe you don't even go as far as speaking the justification, but how many times you feel that impulse of justifying? It could be like your choice of clothes. It could be like your choice of drink at the cafe, whether you got a coffee or a tea. If I remember having feeling like I had to justify that I only wanted a glass of water and I wasn't drinking anything fancier. Or justify that I put on a pair of jeans rather than, I don't know, a skirt, whatever. Like all the small little things, or justify with my husband that maybe I haven't gotten to washing the mugs just yet because I'm doing this other thing. Not that he actually would give a shit, really. But that need to justify is there, okay? So how many times a day do you feel the need to justify your decisions? Doesn't matter how small they are. This is a very practical way to measure the level of conditioning in your system. Okay, as I said, I used to do it all the time. So if you find that you do it all the time, please don't beat yourself up. Okay, we all do that. It's the direct result of being brought up in a narcissistic environment where your inner wisdom has been shamed from the start in your early childhood. So if you, when you do this exercise, you might actually find that's a whole lot of time that impulse of justifying comes up. And there's a whole lot of times where you actually speak it and you fully justify yourself on something that 99%, there's actually never a need to justify, really. Actually, sometimes maybe an explanation might be requested by the other person, but very rarely, very, very, very often, we just justify by default. So after you've counted how many times you justify yourself in a day, start practicing catching it and change it to because I want to. I put on jeans because I wanted to. I'm having a glass of water because I want to. Not because it's healthier, not because, oh, you know, I already drank a coffee, not because that's what my doctor told me, not because it's cleaner. It doesn't matter. Because I want to. That's it. Not because it's better or because it's cheaper or because I saw another person doing it or because it's more convenient, but simply because I want to. And it will feel odd and difficult at the beginning, but it is the medicine when practiced long term. So literally, you count how many times you justify. So now you know it. That's step one. Step two, you start catching it. And step three, you change it into because I want to. Four words. Yes, because I want to. Four words. That's what you start saying. Anytime you feel that impulse, because I want to. And if you don't want to say it out loud because it's not in a context that you would, you can think it. That's okay. But practice, practice, practice changing the justification in because I want to. So that's the first thing. That's the first thing that you can start doing from now. The second thing is feel into what you would like. That's simple. In theory, yes. In practice, not at all. I found feeling into what I truly like to be very intense at first. Actually, almost impossible if I have to be honest. When I started with this, so many blocks came up, so many fears. The voice of my mother yelling at me or criticizing me or making fun of me was strong in my head. So there was a lot of layers to go through to actually figure out what I would like. So that question, you know, I don't know. But even I have to think about it, even like what taste of ice cream would you like? And I'd have to think about it and really feel into it, because I remember my mother being very truth-telling about what tastes of ice cream were good and what weren't, and what were considered a good choice and what weren't. So even in something that simple, I had to really do this exercise that I'm going to tell you now. So if you're feeling like it's really intense and difficult to figure out what you actually would like, that's okay. Keep feeling into that. If you stick with it, holding space for the part of you that feels guilt and fear or blocked or ridiculous, you'll get through to you, and what you like. You will gently start opening the door to your preferences. And if you don't know yet what those preferences are, that's okay. Then you'll open the door of allowance to experiment till you figure it out. I never tried a different flavor of ice cream apart from three or four accepted ones for years. So I couldn't even know what I liked because I hadn't tried 99% of what was available. And that's a simple example. But as you do one thing, you do all things in life. So that was just how I was living life. There was no allowance. And I'm not saying by this that you have to go off and try everything that's available in the world. That's impossible. But there are some topics or some things where you mightn't actually know what you truly like, because there may be the need to actually experiment little. But the guilt and the fear have prevented you from even allowing yourself to go and experiment. So that's the exercise. And again, it's a three-step process. When you ask yourself what you would like, you do these three steps. Pause, feel, and respond. In the pause, you take a moment for yourself and ask the question, what do I like? So let's stick with the ice cream example. you're in front of all the flavors, you're in the ice cream shop, and the person on the other side of the counter is like, oh, so what would you like? And you pause. Maybe you can let some people in the queue skip ahead of you and, you know, give yourself time, take time and pause. What do I like? What would I like? And then step two is feel. So you feel where the block is in your body, that pang of guilt, maybe that pang of fear, or maybe you can't even name it and label it guilt or fear. That's okay. You don't need to label it. But if you feel the block, you feel like you could feel it in your stomach, you could feel it in your throat, you could feel it, a tension in your head, that can be anywhere. Don't rush it, feel it, and do what you need to soothe that discomfort in your body. Maybe you can breathe through it. Maybe you can move, go for a walk, give yourself a hug, place a hand on your belly if that's where you feel the unease, place a hand on your chest. Do any of these things that can soothe that discomfort. And in the resource library of the community of the women's circles, there are practices available to navigate this step and gently loosen the blocks. So that's what we share within the community. And then the third step is respond. At that point, you let your response emerge and you'll go, chocolate. That's me. You're allowed to like whatever you like. I really love chocolate ice cream. So pause first. What do I like? Feel where the block is and soothe it. And then let the response come in. And repeat this process over and over, learning more and more about yourself as you do this. Maybe the first time is going to take you ages. Maybe it's going to take you days on some topics to actually figure it out. Maybe it's going to take you even months. I have had certain things, certain topics where it's been months or even years. Some topics I didn't even know that I wasn't sure about what I liked and what I wanted to do. And yet, the response then eventually came by itself, just by practicing and practicing. So it's a process to learn to know yourself. Feel, pause, feel, respond. Pause, feel, respond. Anytime that you need to decide. So if it's talking about family traditions and you're like, okay, but every year my family does this thing, or every year my family meets and has a family dinner, or every year my mother wants to cook this whatever thing and we all have to eat it, or is that yours? Do you want to do it? Is that something you like? Do you want to continue that? Does it feel like oppressive and a cage and a chore? You are allowed to question and you're allowed to find what's truly you. And sometimes this may take a period of setting boundaries and go, you know what, I need space because I need to figure out what is truly me. And if I am still caught in this noise of all that you want me to do, mother, then I can't actually figure myself out. So that's allowed as well. So make sure you download the free roadmap to boundary setting if you haven't already, so you'll have it and you can keep practicing your boundaries. I know you hear me saying it every episode almost, but boundaries are really so important, because every time that we want to figure out something about ourselves, we need to kind of protect that space. You can't be authentic, you can't find your authentic self if you first haven't created some kind of a safety around you. And boundaries are really important to do that. So boundaries, 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 so you can have the space to pause, feel, and then respond. And then seek support. Seek support when you need. Seek support in a community that understands your experiences because they've been through the same. Seek support in the women's circle. Seek support in one-on-one work. You don't have to do this alone. And if something has been really intensely imposed on you, traditions have been really intensely imposed on you, maybe for a lifetime, and you're now beginning to question and you want to break free, break the cycle, and yet guilt and fear are strong. And I get it that they are. They can be. They're not stronger than you. You are stronger. But they can feel very, very intense. So you're not. You don't have to do this alone. You can get support. So to recap, family traditions can feel like an imposition, and a narcissistic mother can use them as manipulation, because knowing that she's imposing these rules, these truths, she's keeping you in some way, shape or form controllable. Whether it is because she's not allowing you to have your own identity and be authentic, or it is because she's using the guilt and the fear or the shame or the threat to reject you from the family if you break traditions, all of that. Family traditions can become quite the cage. And so, two steps to break the cycle and start finding yourself. One is figure out how many times you are feeling the need to justify yourself and change it into because I want to. That's it. Four words. And also feel into what you would like with pause, feel and respond process. And with that, I'm going to leave you and really hope to be able to post this episode. If you're listening to this, it's because I got to some location with some internet connection. And yes, I did it and I posted it for you. So with that, I send you lots of love and wish you a wonderful week. Bye for now.